Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Oh, no, not this. North Korea fired a long-range rocket? Oh, no, not that. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry, and welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. With me is Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard. Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing real good.
How's your aunt?
Mouth good.
And Margaret Gray is with us.
Good evening, Phil.
Good evening. And I was just telling the crew here, I apologize, folks, for last evening. I did take a few hours for myself, and I'll tell you why. I suffer from, and I believe the word is very, very well used here, I suffer from crippling insomnia. And I don't mean crippling as in I can't move, but, you know.
But that put you in a wheelchair.
It doesn't put me in a wheelchair, no, Bud. It doesn't put me in a wheelchair. It doesn't even put me in bed, which is what you think insomnia would do. Insomnia is something quite simply like this. Insomnia is when you're awake at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're doing TV, and you're doing work, and you suddenly look and you say, geez, it's 4 o'clock, or 5 o'clock, or now it's 6 o'clock. You see the sun coming up, and I haven't been to bed. And I know I'm going to be tired, because that's a normal thing. And so when 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning finally rolls around, believe me when I tell you, you finally find yourself drifting off a little bit to sleep at about 11 a.m. That just isn't going to work, because by 11 a.m. I'm thinking, oh, my God, it's 11 a.m. I mean, there's a day ahead of me here where I have this, that, and a whole bunch of other stuff I got to do. So what do? You stay awake and you say, I better stay awake. I can make it through this night, and I'll get plenty of sleep when I get off the air. Guess what?
So, in other words, this is a cycle that you can't break.
Yeah, it's like a cycle. So my uncle, my Aunt Mavis, her husband like that.
Who was that?
ML.
ML?
Yeah. He would come back and say, hell, you know, go back to work. That's why he had for the longest time. And a lot of people don't know this. He had the longest time. First, 24/7, 7 day a week, Gulf Station on Flower.
What's that?
It's a gas station.
Well, what's Flower?
Flower is a street in downtown Los Angeles. Your uncle had a 24/7, 7 day a week Gulf Station.
That's right.
Now, I know he owned gas. How many service stations did he own? This not your uncle, is it?
Yeah, it was my uncle.
And how many service stations did he own?
He owned about four. He owned four. He owned one in Long Beach. He had three in L.A.
He had three in L.A. and one in Long Beach. And he had a 24/7 Gulf. Boy, Gulf doesn't operate out west anymore.
I don't know if they're still around, as a matter of fact.
Are they still? Yeah, does Gulf? Anyway, so he had a 24/7 Gulf station 7 days a week.
24/7, 7 days a week. He never closed. He's open 24 because he told my aunt, he said, I might as well be down there working. I can't sleep.
Well, he's got to sleep sometime.
Yeah, what did he do when he finally did sleep?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, that's what he said.
Well, it's impossible not to sleep, man. Even if you have insomnia, you got to sleep. So how many days, what are you telling me? He was down there 7 days a week?
Well, I know, yeah.
No, Robert, that's impossible. He must have gone to sleep at some point. I mean, he might have been down there for several days. That is very injurious.
I'm just telling you, you can talk to my aunt.
Well, no, I believe that you're telling me the truth. I understand you're telling me the truth. There's no doubt that, you know, your uncle had insomnia. I know what it's like, but there's no way that he was there at his gate. And I'm not doubting that he had a 7 day a week service station, you know?
No, I'm telling you 24/7 it was open.
No, I believe you. I'm just saying there's no way your uncle was down there 24/7, 7 days a week. Even people with insomnia have got to sleep.
No.
Yeah, it's impossible. How are you going to stay awake?
Hey, man, don't spit on me.
Bud, back off. God.
What?
You're all going, bleh, bleh, bleh. I can see it from here.
Oh, my God, what is that?
Is it green?
Yes.
Yeah, it's from me.
Well, you get out of it. You got a cold or something?
I've had bronchitis.
Oh, you've had bronchitis. What are you doing here, man?
Because it's better now.
Good God.
Oh, you understand what I'm saying, Robert?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, you'd have to talk to my aunt, but, I mean, he had... I know she said he was down like 3-4 nights.
I don't doubt that he had a 24/7, 7 day a week gas station. But he must have had somebody else working. You cannot do it, man. Even people with insomnia have to sleep sooner or later. The problem with insomnia is that it's not that you don't sleep. Of course you sleep. It's that your sleep becomes erratic. It becomes irregular. You're sleeping at times of the day when you should be awake. You're awake at, during times of the day when you should be asleep. You're sleeping 2 hours here and 3 hours there and 1 hour here and 20 minutes there. And it's a horrible, horrible life. And I got to tell you something. And I know that there are doctors, and believe me when I tell you, if you're a doctor listening, I'm telling you right now, I understand why you guys do what you do. Good doctors are not going to be pill happy, and they're not going to be, prescribing sleep medicines. I get it. You're a very responsible guy if you do that. But I will tell you this. There's some of us like me, man, I could use it, you know.
Well, why don't you get your doctor to prescribe you something?
My doctor, who I love, I'm going to see him this week. I'm going to have to beat him up a little bit. He doesn't want to give me anything like that. And I know people, they've had Ambien. Now, I know that Ambien is not...
Yeah, I hear about Ambien just like LSD or something.
Yeah, you're walking around, man, you're hallucinating.
No, you're not hallucinating. There's some people that don't react to it very well, though.
Well, I think it's great. I know when Frank had a problem, he was using Ambien. But that made his gender confusion even worse. Because when he started to use Ambien, then his gender confusion would... I can't describe this, but the gender confusion got so bad that it wasn't just in the third-person references. It became in the pronouns as well.
What?
What are you talking about?
Excuse, don't use that tone with me.
Talking about me?
No, Robert.
Yeah, but what are you talking about? Nobody knows what you're talking about. I'm talking about my uncle. I've told about my uncle. Why don't you say, speak some English?
I'm speaking English. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't know what you mean either. What do you mean the pronoun?
I mean, for instance, when Frank says about Jason J. Delmonico, let's say he's talking about him, he'd say that she is a great... Ordinarily, Frank would say, she's a great boy. I love my son.
Right.
When he uses Ambien, he'll say about Jason J. Delmonico, she's a great girl. I love my son. Or if it really gets bad... He'll say, she's a great girl, I love my daughter, and he's talking about a boy.
What?
Man, that...
Do you understand what I'm saying or not? I won't repeat it.
I do understand. I think these guys do, too. You got to get some help for that guy.
Oh, well, tell me about it. Don't you think I know that?
So Jason J., when he takes too much Ambien, she's a great girl, I love my son.
Yes. In other words, it exacerbates in stages. Stages. Do you understand what I mean? This one over here is looking at me like I'm some sort of a retard.
Yeah, I understand what you mean if you talk about a retard.
I didn't say that I'm a retard. I said you're looking at me.
Can we not use that word retard? Or even, I don't give a damn whether it's the French or whatever.
What do you got them playing cards for?
What?
How come you got both playing cards?
Oh, I'm holding a deck of cards. I don't know. I just like holding cards. They feel good in my hands, you know.
Yeah, it's either that or... Well, I'm hearing it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll bet it feels good.
I'm holding a deck of cards. I like holding a deck of cards. All right. Okay, so there's that. All kinds of news here that we can report on, or not, as the case may be. We'll look into it. We'll see what's worthy. Paul Tagliabue, Bountygate ruling, meaningless for New Orleans Saints. And also, of course, over the weekend, which I guess was dealt with in large measure yesterday, more tragedy strikes in the National Football League, this time by way of a drunk driving death, a manslaughter charge, the irresponsibility. You know, people have often said that professional sport, the world of professional sports, is a microcosm of society. And I suppose that that's true. However, I will say this, and I'm trying to say this with the greatest of respect. While it is a microcosm of society, it is disproportionate. And what I mean by that is, there was, for the longest time, and I don't really know what the numbers are now, but there was, for the longest time, we saw an awful lot of arrests and incarceration of professional athletes, specifically in the NFL, for things like drug offenses. We saw, for a period there, arrests and incarceration for rape, which is horrible. We saw, for a period there, arrest and incarceration for, these different offenses. And so while you talk about, sports is a microcosm, yeah, sure it is, but is it proportionate?
Well, so you're saying that there are fewer in society than there are among the predominantly black players of the NFL. Oh, I see where you're going. So this is racist. Right?
No, it's not racist. No, it's not racist.
Robert, don't you agree?
Don't put me in the middle of this. I'm not going to say anything.
Why don't you back... I don't understand, Phil. If you have a black employee...
If I have a black employee, what?
Why he doesn't... Can we wait until the break, please?
What are you saying? I'm supposed to back up Mr. Henry?
Can we wait until the break, please?
Well, I mean...
Can we wait...
All right, we'll wait until the break. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Ravi Shankar, the iconic musician from India, has died at the age of 92. Ravi Shankar, the man who brought to America and to Western Europe the sitar, which was learned by George Harrison, among others, in the world of popular music and rock and roll music. Ravi Shankar, dead at the age of 92. Other news ahead here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Why your one black employee doesn't back me up?
We're not in the break yet.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
You don't know about that. Yeah, I do.
How do you figure that?
Would you turn the fan off, please?
Why?
Don't ask me why. Just turn the fan off.
Yeah, but it's cold. It's cold in here.
It's cold in here, so you have a fan on.
Yeah.
Why?
But it moves the warm air around.
It moves the warm air around if it's...
Yeah, the warm air. Don't you know nothing about air?
Don't you? You don't know anything about air, huh?
What do you mean I don't know anything about air?
Hot air rises, Phil. If you turn the fan on, then it fans the hot air off of the ceiling down to the lower area.
Yeah, it sends the hot air down to where we are.
No, otherwise it's hanging around up there.
Oh, is that right? So the fan turns the... and it, there's only one problem with that.
What?
The fan turns that hot air into cooler air once it comes down here.
Well, but I mean, what do you mean? Once it comes down here, it's still...
Once it comes down here...
Not like it doesn't have a mind of its own. It's going to be hot air.
Look, I'm not saying it doesn't have a mind of its own. What are you talking about, man? Warm air...
See, I told you.
Yeah.
Mr. Henry, you should just concentrate on the show and let us do what we got to do. And we're going to do what we got to do. So, the...
Turn that off, man.
It's warm in here, man.
Turn it off. I know what I'm doing. Do what you're going to do. Don't do that, okay? If you guys are too warm in here, then you can get a fan going out in the hall or something, man.
I don't know why you're so bloody cheap that you don't...
Whoa! So bloody cheap I don't what?
Get some air conditioning in here.
Margaret, let me just explain something to you.
I know all about the cool air at the beach. I got that speech already.
Yes, the cool air at the beach... 90 days out of the year, well, not even more than 90 days out of the year, 200 days out of a 300-day year, it is nice and cool and beautiful in here, okay? We do. We live down here, and we work down here at the ocean, where it is a very moderate and temperate temperature here most of the time. Now, I understand that the equipment here tends to make the temperature in this room, this studio, rise. But unlike most studios, we don't need to have air conditioning. And who's that calling in? Let me guess.
Mr. Hall.
Yeah. Tell him just to hang on for a minute, okay? Just tell him to hang on for 2 seconds. That's all I ask, just 2 seconds. And let me address these problems, and I'll be very, very happy to talk to him, okay? Just 2 lousy, stinking seconds is all I'm asking for, bud. Do you understand? Just 2 seconds. Yeah, David. Hold on. Thanks a lot, bud.
I gave you 2 seconds.
You didn't give me 1 second.
Well, look, I'm down at the mall right now, Phil, and I can tell you something. The mall is full of people. It's Christmas time. There are people that are shopping. There are people of all ages, all sizes. There's all kinds of human beings. They are packed in like sardines down here. They're going into stores. They're going into the different shops. They are packed in. I am sweating like a pig. I am sweating like a hog. You understand? I can't breathe. I can barely move down here. And it's cooler here than it is in that sweat box you work in. Now, you know I asked you, Phil, because I bring clients in there. Just like that box they used in Cool Hand Luke, the one where the guy said, anybody play grab ass with another man, spend a night in the box. You remember that? We used to laugh about that. You remember that, Phil?
Yes, I remember that. Okay.
All right. Any man spend a night. If I got to give that speech in front of a client, where's that going to leave me?
And what speech?
Talk about any man play grab ass with a man.
Yeah.
What do you mean any man plays grab ass with a man? Why would you have to give a speech like that?
Because the clients are going, boy, what a sweatbox Henry works in. I go, yeah, any man play grab ass with a man, got to spend a night about. And they all go, oh, yeah, cool hand woo. Okay?
So what do you mean cool hand woo? Cool hand Luke.
Cool hand, it was the one with Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, remember that one, Cool Hand Woo, about the three women?
Yes, they went across the desert in Australia.
Oh, you guys are really messed up.
What?
That's called... That was that Tofu Young Who. That was those three...
They were three trannies.
No, they were three cross-dressers.
Yeah, trannies.
They weren't trannies. They were three guys that dressed like women. They were performers. They were female impersonators.
Well, what has that got to do with Cool Hand Woo?
All right, David, goodbye.
Come on, man. Give me...
You ever put him on the... What have I told you, man, okay?
Oh, my God. Phil, you are really getting tense.
I keep telling this jackass not to put people on the air until I say go. I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you for one lousy second, bud. Do you give me 1 second? No. Bang. Up goes the phone. There he is.
Guy, I always get pissed off, but I don't.
Cool Hand Woo.
Yeah, was that one with the lady?
No, man. Cool Hand Luke was the one with
Patrick Swayze. I don't understand.
Patrick Swayze? Don't you remember Cool Hand Luke?
Of course I remember Cool Hand Luke. I'm talking about the one with... The one with... Do you remember the one where Paul Newman...
Paul Newman was in a movie called Cool Hand...
Cool Hand?
Cool Hand Luke. The Foo Young Woo, or whatever the hell that thing was, with those three cross-dressers, which, by the way, sucked compared to the original, which was Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, but I digress.
Yeah, you like movies like that.
Yeah, but I don't think, Mr. Henry, I'm being meant that at all.
Did you like that one?
I did, yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't bother me, by the way. You can make fun of me all you want, you know.
Well, if I was you, I wouldn't be saying.
Well, I don't give a damn. If you were me, bud, there'd be a lot of things that'd be different. If you were me, then the world wouldn't be blessed with the grand wit and wisdom and charm that are me.
Hey, very nice, Mr. Henry, but you forget one thing.
Yeah, what's that?
Without me, Bud Dickman, and the other people that are here, you'd be nothing.
Yeah.
I second that, Bud.
See, you forget one little thing, Mr. Henry, and
you get out of here. And go get me one of them Lipton iced teas, will you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you forget one thing, Mr. Henry. Where is he getting the lip on him all of a sudden?
Well, Phil, don't ratchet. Every time you talk about Cool Hand Woo or whatever, you're always going on about movies that have absolutely no cultural relevance. To any of the younger listeners, what is your major malfunction?
I don't get out much, you know.
Hey, right there, see? You don't get out much.
Start getting out a little bit more. Go out, go dancing, go out to a nightclub. Buy a cocktail or something. What's wrong with you?
I don't. I don't.
Are you still married?
Am I still married?
No, I mean emotionally. Are you still just a homebody at home, a married guy, but there just isn't a wife there anymore? And there are no children there anymore. It's just you. You're sitting waiting. Waiting for the wife that never comes to the door. Aren't you, Phil? It's all right.
No, I wouldn't say that.
That's exactly what the problem is. I know a girl for you.
Margaret, come on. Please, don't start with that, okay?
I know a girl for you. I know her, and I'd like to introduce you. The minute you drop the handkerchief on this one, the minute you go ahead and go from yellow to green on this, I know the girl for you.
That's pretty sad, Mr. Henry. Waiting for the wife that never is going to get through the door.
Okay, thank you very much, Muddy Waters.
Not bad. I just want to say I agree.
I think it's very sad. Aren't you precious, though, Phil? You sit there night after night, and you watch your television, and you write, and you do your work, as if you're waiting for that wife with the groceries to call you downstairs to help, right?
Well...
You do, don't you?
I guess. I don't know.
Phil, I really think you need to go out with Carol.
Not Carol. Will you stop already with her, please?
She is wonderful. And you like girls with big...
Yeah, I like girls with big asses. Not 300 pounds. Do you mind?
She's not... We'll talk about it during the break.
That why you don't want to go out with her on account of she's a behemoth?
Would you shut...
Ow! She hit me.
Well, Bud, why don't you watch your mouth, okay?
She's not a behemoth. She's a lovely... She's full-figured. She, all right, she's not full-figured. Her waist...
What's her waist?
She's got a 63 waist. So what? What a pig. All three of you are one... All three of you don't make one good sexist pig. You would make a pig, but barely. Now, Phil, are we on the air still?
No.
Well, then I'm all my grade A material.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Just dropped my glasses, everything. Harvey Weirman is going to join us here in a moment because on Christmas Day, speaking of cultural events, Margaret, on Christmas Day, a significant cultural event I think is going to take place, and that is going to be the release of a new Quentin Tarantino film called Django Unchained. Now, I don't know a lot about it, but I do recognize the style. I'm a huge Quentin Tarantino fan anyway, and have been since I saw my first Tarantino movie, which was... I wanted to say it was Pulp Fiction, but I think I did see Reservoir Dogs before that.
Well, you said that you saw Reservoir Dogs, you didn't know who the filmmaker was, and you only found out it was Tarantino after you saw Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, that's how it went for me.
Yeah, did you... So what's the first one you seen?
The first one I saw was Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. That came out after Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
No, it did not. It came out before Pulp Fiction. I didn't know it was a Tarantino movie until after I'd seen Pulp Fiction.
So you saw Pulp Fiction first?
No, you imbecile. Are you listening to him?
Well, did you start to cry?
No, what are you crying for?
I'm not...
Would you two idiots listen and just shut up? Just shut up. I saw
Pulp Fiction.
I'm going to belt you, Bud. I'm going to hit you, and we'll be on the air, and I want everyone to know that Bud has a plate in his head, so technically it'll be hitting a disabled person, and it will be a violation of the law, and please do call the police on me. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do it. Unless you shut up now.
Sorry.
I saw Reservoir Dogs... Then I saw Pulp Fiction, and I didn't know that Reservoir Dogs was a Quentin Tarantino movie until I saw Pulp Fiction. Now, in your mind, that means I didn't see Reservoir Dogs when I saw it. I saw it after Pulp Fiction.
That's the way I would have thought about it.
Yeah, that's logical.
Oh, it's logical. It's logical.
You two, you bring a whole new meaning to the word... You bring a whole new meaning...
To the word what?
Earthworm?
Earthworm, there. That's a good one. Earthworm, yeah.
I thought you said once about them, I thought it was very good, you said the two of them together wouldn't make a good earthworm.
Yes, that too.
Huh? The two of you guys together wouldn't make one decent earthworm.
Woo!
I like that one, man.
Yeah, you think it's funny, but it's not.
Oh, well, good comeback, bud. You understand what I'm saying? So in any event... Thank you for butchering beyond recognition what it was I was trying to say, which is, to wit, to start all over again, Django Unchained is coming out on Christmas Day. It's a significant cultural event. It's a significant thing. I want to go see it. I'm going to go see it. I'm excited about going to see it. And to that end, this evening, we're going to have on the line a guy who has been an entertainment attorney for a long time in this town. He is also, he's done an awful lot of things. Along with Frank Gray, he is Harvey Weirman, and he is joining us tonight from his home in San Marino. Harvey has you didn't work in the film business, but you've been around film stars, Harvey, and you've been around the film business for a long time. Do you know the work of Quentin Tarantino?
Yes, I'm very grateful to be on your program tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Harvey. It's good to have you. Do you know the work of Quentin Tarantino?
I've seen Quentin Tarantino's work since I was aware of an old friend of mine, God bless him and God rest his soul, being involved in the movie Reservoir Dogs with him, which was Lawrence Tierney.
Yes.
And Lawrence Tierney I knew from the 40s. He was in the Marine Corps. I was in the Marine Corps. And he was a young man who went into the movie business. and had a career that was quite colorful.
So, Harvey, this is Margaret. So you knew Lawrence Tierney when he did John Dillinger?
Yes, I knew Larry when he did John Dillinger, and that was going to be a big breakout movie for him. It was a big breakout movie for him. The thing about Lawrence Tierney is...
And for people that don't, if I can interrupt, Harvey.
Go ahead.
For people that don't remember Lawrence Tierney, he was the older guy who was running the whole holdup.
He was the guy that gave the great speech there, you know, you're not Mr. Pink. Some other guy's Mr. Purple or whatever it was.
Yeah, no, I remember. You're not Mr. Purple. Some other guy in another job is Mr. Purple. You're going to be Mr. Pink.
Yeah. And he said, why do I got to be Mr. Pink? Because you're...
Don't say it.
Yeah, don't use the word. Yeah, that was Lawrence Tierney, the older guy that's trying to keep this rabble under control. And he's got all these psychopaths working for him. So, but I got to see that movie. I thought that was great. And then I saw that Pulp Fiction, and I've seen everything he's done. I saw I even saw the Jackie Brown, which I thought he brought back Pam Grier. She's the most beautiful woman. Do you know Pam Grier, Phil?
No, I do not know her, no.
Margaret?
I have not had the pleasure. She's absolutely beautiful.
Pam Grier is one of the most beautiful women you've ever seen, and she's a great actress, too. So, I got to get some water, Phil, because you know I get the phlegm.
Go ahead.
It's my granddaughter is here tonight, Courtney, and her mom, Pamela. Honey, is Mommy here? Is Mommy here?
Yeah.
Would you go get some water for Grandpa? She's going to go get some water.
All right, so I wanted to talk about Django Unchained, Harvey, from the standpoint of the great Westerns, of which Tarantino is a fan.
Right.
We talk about the spaghetti westerns of Sergio Leone, and those would be... What were the spaghetti westerns?
Well, what we call the spaghetti westerns were actually shot in Spain.
That's very true, yeah.
They were shot in Spain.
By a spaghetti, though.
Yeah.
By an Italian, yeah.
Don't call him a spaghetti.
That's what the Germans called him.
In World War II.
Well,
I don't give a damn. Don't call them spaghettis.
They were. What did he call it? He called it a what? A spaghetti? thanks, honey. Thank you. Here's some water. I'm gonna. No, baby, this is not water. That's vodka. God, how did she get a hold of vodka, Pamela? How'd she get a hold of vodka?
Harvey Wehrman is.
Harvey.
Hold on for. She poured me a glass of vodka. Where'd she get that? Well, I want water. I can't drink a straight glass of vodka. I'll be on my ass in five... Sorry, Phil. So the spaghetti westerns were shot in Spain by Sergio Leone. And they had, as you know, the three great stars, Lee Van Cleef. And they had Eli Wallach. And they had the other young man, Clint Eastwood, you know.
Yeah. And Clint Eastwood was quoted as saying when he got back to the States after shooting those films, you know, he was nobody here except for the...
Side Saddle or something.
No, what movie is he talking about?
It's not a movie.
No, it wasn't a movie. It was the TV show?
Yeah, it was called Side Whip or something.
No, you mean you talk about Rawhide?
Rawhide.
Are you telling me there's a show called Rawhide?
Yes, there was a show called Rawhide.
I didn't know it. It was a TV show about all the cows.
Yeah, Rawhide. It was called. It was about a bunch of
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
Rawhide was a show about a bunch of cattle drovers, about guys that were driving the cattle to market.
Yeah, I'll bet they were.
Are you serious?
What is it with you guys tonight? Are you on some kind of dumb pill or something? What is it with you?
Well, Phil, I don't understand either.
The show was called. Don't worry about it, Margaret. The show was called Raw. It was Raw in the Saddle or something, but I don't know what Phil's talking about. And
Raw in the Saddle, it was called Rawhide. It was about, don't you know about cowboys driving the cattle to market?
Yeah, but you would never film it on a TV and show it to kids.
Hold on for just a minute.
What are you going to do?
Hold on for a minute. You there, Harvey?
Yeah.
Hold on.
What are you doing?
Ow!
Yeah. How's that feel?
My God, Phil.
Don't say a word. Don't say a word.
I'm going to call my mom.
Go ahead and call your mom. Go ahead, call your mom.
Suddenly, Phil, there's a tail of ill will that has befallen your show.
Oh, give me a break. I told him that the next time I heard him mouth off, I was going to belt him.
Well, Phil, no one actually thought you'd do it.
Well, I did. What are you looking at me like that for?
I don't know, Phil. I don't even feel like staying on your show. I'm sorry. Goodbye.
I barely touched the kid.
Mr. Henry, I think that I've worked for you for a long time. I ain't never seen you hit a kid that had a plate in his head like that.
Phil, you know that I back you up.
I barely touched him. I took the paper and I swatted at him.
Well, I don't know if I can, and I hate to do this in front of your audience. Are you people kidding with me or something? I have to leave.
Yeah, me too.
We're only kidding. Kid, I'm going to kick somebody's ass.
Yeah, we got you. We got you. We got you.
Get in here. Bud, get in here. Margaret, who's doing all that laughing?
It's me.
God, that's spooky. Margaret. I'm almost grateful that they were kidding.
Whoa!
Is that Margaret that's doing all that noise?
What do you mean noise? I'm having, for the first time in my life, I'm enjoying myself.
Well, where are you?
I'm taking a dump. Where do you... God,
God, Mr. Henry, we gotta ask all a question like that.
What is it with you anyway, bud?
Just having some fun.
I swatted him with a paper, and they make it sound like I... You know that I'm not really going to hit you. You know that, right?
I don't know.
Come on. You know I'm not really going to hit you.
Maybe.
Well, you now know that I'm not really going to hit you, because I said I was, and I swatted you with a piece of paper, and you start bawling like a baby.
Yeah? Just, you know, I want to make sure people don't ever get the comfortable idea I'm going to take it from a full head.
What's a full head?
That's what they call it, that like, where the disability people are?
Yeah.
Anybody that don't have a plate.
Yeah.
Anyone that doesn't have a plate in their head is a full head?
Yeah. We're plate heads.
Yeah, and a people with no plate is a full head.
Yes, you don't know that? A bone head or a full head?
No, I've never heard that before. I had no idea.
Phil, you must know that the disabled have their own vernacular. They have their own slang.
Yeah.
I guess it never occurred to me. I just,
Well, yeah, people that are on wheelchair, you know, people that have legs, people in wheelchair, they call people legs certain things, you know.
Yeah, so the people that have a plate in their head like me, I'm a plate head and you're a full head.
I'm a full head. All right, we'll take a break and we'll be back here. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show featuring me, Phil Hendry, a full head, along with my plate head friend here, Bud Dickman, and...
Yeah, Robert's a plate head too, even though he... Get out of it!
Come on, come on. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Do you still want me on your rotten show?
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Harvey. So you're screwing around too, huh?
Well, what do you mean screwing around? I just took the cue from the one with the plate in his head. That's all. But you know, Phil, you're not the only guy that gets to mess around and what do you call it? Tell jokes and everything. You know, there's a few other people in this world that have a couple of a couple of laughs. You know.
All right, can we continue with our conversation?
Yeah, sure. I just got to make sure that my granddaughter, if you get grandpa's glasses...
Oh, would you come on with that glasses thing now?
What is wrong with you?
Every time you ask that kid for glasses, she comes back with the giant Disneyland glasses.
That kid?
kid. That's my granddaughter, Mr. Henry.
I understand that, Harvey, but every time you ask her for glasses, it's 10 minutes before you get the right glasses. Okay?
Hey, what's going on here in the Dodger game? They just tackled some guy, and it looks like they're beating the hell out of him. And
I don't know. You watch? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just asking. What are you talking about, man?
Well, I just have the news on right now.
All right, let me get back to what we're discussing here. We're discussing Quentin Tarantino,
right?
And Django Unchained, and I was asking you about the spaghetti westerns. Bud, be quiet about spaghetti and Italians and everything else, if you don't mind.
Whatever.
The spaghetti western that you're talking about was made in Spain. And it was made in Spain by Sergio Leone. The reason why they made these films in Spain, by the way, the reason why they made these films in Spain, Phil, is because the Spanish, first of all, they have topography in Spain that is very much like the Western United States. It's arid. There's film studios there, and they've got a models. I don't know.
You mean the topography?
Yeah, the topography. But they also have restaurants.
Harvey, they can have restaurants. Harvey, this is Margaret. They can have restaurants anywhere. Are you talking about Spain as being a good place to shoot because they have the outdoor, the exteriors are like the American West?
Yes, that's it. I was dancing all around it. I wanted to know, I was in my own mind, why is it a good place to film westerns? And I was thinking, well, there's bottles and there's restaurants, and they've got a stagecoach company. But I couldn't think of the real reason.
Yeah, the exteriors, as Margaret said, Wild West.
Yeah, the Spanish mountains and the desert. So anyway, they did, Leone did the good, the bad, the ugly, and the good.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
The bad, and what did you call it?
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, the one that had Clint Eastwood.
Well, Clint Eastwood was in a number of them.
Well, now you're losing me.
See, you can't, don't confuse him. Yes, Harvey, it's called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Clint Eastwood was in it.
Right, and who else was in that? Lee Van Cleef, I know.
Lee Van Cleef and Eli Wallach.
Yes. That was a groundbreaking film, because that film showed, in its own way, the evil in the hearts of men who are even well-intentioned. So each one of these men fighting for this goal, you saw that there was, moral ambiguity. The other thing that I thought was a great aspect of that movie was the Union soldier that rides up covered in gray dust, and you think he's a gray coat. And he begins to wipe the dust from his jacket.
Oh, that was a great scene, yeah. They thought that they, because these three men, at least two of them, were Confederate veterans, right?
Yeah, they fought with the South and the West. So they thought, you see what they say with the guy, they thought they had a Southerner, and he started to wipe the dirt away, and it was blue.
Yeah, well, they could solve that problem if they had a guy on set and wipe it down.
What does he mean?
What do you mean?
What?
What are you talking about?
If the guy had a dirty coat.
They wanted the coat dirty. That was part of the film.
Yeah, but if they had a good person in wardrobe.
They don't want to have anybody in wardrobe wiping the dirt off. Man, that's what they wanted for the movie.
You understand? They wanted a dirty jacket because it looked gray.
Well, yeah, but then the guy had to wipe it off himself is what you said.
The guy's supposed to wipe it off himself. That's what was part of the movie, man. Do you understand?
The guy had to wipe the gray coat because they had all that dirt. And when he wiped the gray coat off, then it's blue.
So that's the...
No, don't get pissed. But this is Harvey. This is Mr. Wireman. You know me, right?
Yeah.
You trust me, don't you?
Yes, sir. I trust you, Mr. Wireman.
All right. You remember when you came to my house and you cleaned out the rain gutters for me and you took out all that dirty dog, the doo-doo and everything that we found out there behind the garage?
Uh-huh.
And I paid you good for it, didn't I?
Yes, sir, you did.
How much did I give you, bud?
You gave me a bill that had a picture of two, or it had the two pictures of Andrew, Bud Grant.
Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah, Ulysses S. Grant.
Right, I told you about Bud Grant because he was the coach of the Minnesota Vikings, had the same name as you.
Yeah.
Okay, but that was different. I gave you two bills with pictures of Ulysses S. Grant on them.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I will never steer you wrong.
No, sir.
When I tell you that that Bud Grant was wearing a black...
But it was you...
It wasn't Ulysses. Who was it? Somebody was wearing a blue jacket, and he had on a dirty... I can't even remember what I was telling this retard.
Well...
Never mind. Never mind.
We can figure it out during the break.
But don't go anywhere, Bud, okay? This is Harvey Wehrman. Don't go anywhere.
No, sir.
All right. What? Who was wearing the coat?
You're talking about the movie?
Yes, I'm talking about the movie.
All right, in the movie, it was a guy, it was just an actor who was dressed as a as a Union general.
Wearing a dirty coat.
Yes, and he comes riding up on the horse, and he starts to wipe away the dust. You think he's a Confederate soldier, and when he wipes away the dust, you see that it's a blue jacket.
And was that Ulysses S. Grant?
No, it wasn't Ulysses S. Grant. That was the guy whose picture was on the bills that you gave to Bud.
Well, I don't...
I'm still waiting, sir.
Yeah, just stay there.
All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll get around to talking about Django Unchained. Don't worry about it. Sometime this week, maybe. Maybe after the movie comes out. Maybe after the movie's been out on DVD.
Phil Henry.